spite of the football news out there. Never mind. It's just football games, right? We don't care. We don't care. You know, there's a lot of bad news out here in the world. You might have noticed that. It's in all the newspapers and on the TV and all. Due to feckless world governments, including the United States government, probably the nation of Iran is going to have nuclear weapons within the next couple of years. And that's a little scary because they're truly insane. They're not interested in world domination. They're interested in world incineration. And atomic weapons, those are probably not the guys you want to have atomic weapons. But that's part of the bad news. There's lots of bad news out there. There's all kinds of news right here at home. I saw this past week, you probably saw it too, the poverty level is the worst it's been in 50 years. Anybody see that story besides, you saw that story. You know, I'm thinking about that and I'm trying to think, let's see, but people in poverty today have air conditioning and cell phones and cars. And I think 50 years ago, people in poverty probably didn't have air conditioning. No, they didn't have cell phones, probably didn't have cars. So I guess our definition of poverty might have changed a little bit about how that works. I don't know. There's more bad news everywhere you look. Internet Explorer version 9 is coming out now. The problem is, if you don't have Windows 7, it won't work. Oh, that's bad. Well, maybe that's not bad news for you. I don't know. Maybe you don't like Internet Explorer. There's all kinds of bad news. Do you know that oil is under $74 a barrel now? As an energy-producing state, that's not good news for Oklahoma. That's bad news for us. I think the funniest thing, I love these political pundits. Y'all read these guys that they're talking about all the elections and everything. They're pulling their hair out now because all the wrong people are getting elected. They're actually getting elected, and it's just driving them crazy that the wrong people are getting elected. We got all kinds of bad news. Did you hear about the guy? I may have even told this to you years ago. There's a guy who's down at the gym. He's in the locker room, and he's tying his shoes, and the phone next to him starts to ring. It's a phone on the bench. He picks it up, looks at it. Hello? And this sweet young thing on the other end says, "Oh, honey, listen, I'm down here at the realtor's office, and I know we were looking at this house, and I know that you said it's really more than we can afford, but honestly, it's just beautiful. It's exactly what I want, and it's nice and big, and it's right by the lake. If I put the deposit down right now, we can close on it later this month. Can we please get this house? Please? I really, really want it." And he says, "Well, okay." She says, "Oh, thank you, honey. I love you so much. Thank you. That's so sweet of you." And he says, "Yeah, I love you too." She says, "Oh, honey, it's so nice of you. Oh, and listen, I stopped by the Mercedes dealership today, and I can get that. It's blue. It's exactly the color I want. And the guy said I can have it for only $64,000. Can I please get that car? It's exactly what I wanted." And he says, "Oh, please." She says, "Please, I really, really want it." I says, "Well, for that kind of money, it really needs to have all the options on it." She says, "Oh, it's got everything that I want, every possible gadget. This is exactly what I want. Thank you so much, honey. I love you so much." He says, "Okay." She says, "Oh, and I got a surprise for you. When you get home, I went ahead and picked up that chinchilla coat. Yeah, I stopped by. I had to use two credit cards to make it work, but went ahead and got it done, so I got that new chinchilla coat. It's so beautiful. You're really going to like the way it looks on me." She says, "I love you so much. I'll see you when you get home." He says, "Okay, love you too. Bye." She says, "Bye-bye. I'll see you when you get home." "Yeah, bye." Looks at it. Anybody in here know whose phone this is? That's kind of the way we feel as Christians. We're out here, people call us to give us bad news all the time. We're not answering the phone. I'm not interested in bad news. We've got all kinds of good news going on in our world. We've got all kinds of wonderful things happening. In our daily Bible reading, we've finished the book of 1 Thessalonians. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 this evening. We're going to read the last part of chapter 4 and the first part of chapter 5. And those of you who know your Bible really well, you're thinking, "Wait a minute, how's that good news?" You watch. I'm going to show you some good news. We've got a lot of encouraging things happening here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, the Thessalonian Christians had some legitimate questions in their lives, but in answering those questions, Paul reminds us why Christians' lives are filled with joy. Of all the people in the world, we, followers of Jesus, have more right to joy than anybody else in the world. Christ has overcome all the elements that wipe joy out of our lives. So let's go to chapter 4, start in verse 11 with me if you would. We're going to start reading and we're just going to see all the reasons why we have tremendous joy. For one thing, look at this. We got a future. Not everybody has a future. We've got a future. Start reading with me in verse 11, verse 13. It says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep." He's talking about people who died. "We do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." See, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. "According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." We've got a future. Now, death terrifies a lot of people. And you can understand that. I mean, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15 talked about those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. We can understand that. There's so much we don't know about it. We certainly have never experienced it for ourselves, so we can't stand around and look at each other and say, "Don't worry about it. It's just fine. Everything's going to work out just fine." And we can imagine a lot of things about death. We can imagine what happens immediately before or during the event or immediately after. We can imagine a lot of things about that. And I don't know about you, but when I play that "what if" movie, y'all play a "what if" movie in your mind? When you play it, I don't know about you, when I play the "what if" movie, it never ever has a happy ending. And then I play it again because I didn't see it all the first time, so I play it again and it gets worse. And each time I play the "what if" movie, you know, bad things get stacked up in there. All kinds of bad things can happen when you play the "what if" movie. So we can imagine a lot of things. I understand why people are afraid of death. We have a lot of questions. We don't know everything that's going to happen. We know a few things. God tells us a few things that will happen. We don't know everything that's going to happen to our spirits. What are we going to do until Jesus comes again? If we die before the Lord returns, what will we do until that day comes? Where will we be and what will we do? I don't know. People think I'm supposed to know answers to these questions because I'm a preacher. I got called to a woman's bedside in Michigan. And she was just a very, very short time from death, and she knew it, the whole family knew it. And she had been a rather just nominally religious person before, but she didn't have anybody to call on. So her daughter asked me to go across the whole city of Detroit. It'd be like driving to Yukon from here to talk to this woman. I did. I went over to visit with her and talked to her. And her question was, when we got through all the preliminaries, we got through all that stuff, her real question was, "Will it hurt? Will it hurt when I die?" How do you answer that? Will it hurt? I said, we have no reason to believe that it will. We have no reason to believe that that moment will hurt. We got a lot of questions. The good news for us is we have tremendous assurance in Christ. Death is not the end. That's not the end of the story. There's far, far more to come. We are going to rise. And Paul makes that explicitly clear. You know, it doesn't matter whether you die before the Lord comes or whether you're left when the Lord returns. You're going to rise. You're either going to rise from the dead or you're going to rise in the air. But you're going to rise to be with the Lord forever. And we're going to be with Him forever. And consequently, Paul steps back and says, so just encourage each other with these words. That was the very problem the Thessalonians had. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, who have died and Jesus hasn't returned, have they missed the resurrection? And Paul says, no, they haven't missed anything. They haven't missed anything. You have tremendous assurance in this. So encourage one another with this, because we've got this wonderful future. And beyond that, we've got real, true peace. Go on to chapter 5, because this all flows together. You know, all chapter 4, starting in verse 13, going down into chapter 5, it all flows together and works together. So chapter 5, the first three verses, Paul says, now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. What's the natural question? You're talking about Jesus' return. The natural question is, when? When's He coming back? And Paul says, I don't need to tell you about that. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. See, we've got true peace while others don't. There are two different extremes here. Some people are very alarmist. You hear these guys on the religious TV programs all the time running around talking about Jesus is going to come again. It's never been this bad before. I love it when people say that because it's crazy. People say it's never been this bad before. And I wonder how anyone who was alive and conscious, just aware of surroundings, say, in 1942, could say that this is the worst it's ever been. That's not even possible. You think about what was going on in 1942. There are people in this room who were alive in 1942 and knew very well what was going on. You know, things were very dire in 1942. It's not the worst that it's ever been. People look at that and they say, oh, that's proof positive that Jesus is coming again. Jesus said that is proof positive that those signs have nothing whatsoever to do with Jesus' return. Some people just flinch at every piece of bad news. And they think, oh, that's just evidence that He's going to be here just any second. We've got these predictions of Armageddon coming out. And that's, you know, now the deal with Iran getting nuclear weapons, people say, oh, it's going to be Armageddon right here. Well, maybe that's a little alarmist. I don't know. But then there are other people who just live in denial. They don't think Jesus is coming again at all. They don't think there's any problem there. Nothing to think about. Have you all heard about this billboard that's supposed to be over by the fairgrounds, the billboard that advertises for unbelievers, people who don't believe in God? They've got an organization now. I don't know how that's going to work out because in my experience, people... unbelievers aren't very good at organization. So I don't think this organization is going to last very long. But they've got their billboard over there about people just denying that there's a future judgment, denying that there's a God, denying all this stuff. Well, they're just in denial about that. They think nothing very bad is going to happen. And boy, are they going to be surprised at the judgment day. They're really going to be amazed at that. Because their unconcern, their ability to step back and say, there's no problem, that's really just based in ignorance. They don't know. And so they just presume that nothing is happening. But we have genuine peace. We have absolute peace about this because we know certainly that Jesus will return. He absolutely will return. And we know that it will be a surprise. He says it's like a thief in the night. That's how Jesus talked about it too. It's be like a thief in the night. Nobody's expecting it. Bang, He's there. Surprise. That's when judgment will occur. And whatever happens in that moment, when the Lord returns, whatever happens in that moment, we're okay because we've committed ourselves to Him. So we have genuine peace. We're really not. Other people may live in terror and other people may live in denial about judgment, but we're not living in either place. We live in actual, true peace with God. We live there every day because we actually have a way of life. I want you to skip on down with me. Keep on going here into chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. See, we've got a way of life to live day by day with Christ. He says, but you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We've got a way of life. You're the people out here who are afraid of losing our way of life. You hear that a lot these days. Our American way of life is under assault. What they're really afraid of is a loss of security. They like it their way. They're really afraid of a loss of security. I think there are probably some aspects of our culture we should lose. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing a few aspects of our culture go away forever and ever and ever. That'd be all right with me. But our Christian conduct, the way we live, that cannot be taken from us. Whatever else they can say about our way of life, you know, they can't take our Christian conduct away. They're never going to pass a law. You must lie twice a day. You can't tell the truth. You can't be honest. You can't be faithful to your spouse. You can't do any of that stuff. No, no. Our way of life is absolutely secure because we're going to live for Christ and live with Christ. Some people fear a loss of their way of life. Some people just imprison themselves by bad behavior. Paul talked here about people who get drunk. There are people who make bad choices, and they live bad lives because of bad choices. They do bad things, and bad things occur because of that. And then they wonder why life hurts so much, and they tend to blame God, I think, for that, which is kind of surprising when they're the ones making the decision. I read a story about a guy named James Aliff. August the 2nd of 1997, he fell asleep. And he woke up very rudely because something cracked him across the back of his noggin. Something hit him right in the back of the head and waked him up. And he waked up and he kind of raised up, and you raised up just in time for something else to whack him on the back of the noggin and drive his face right back down into the gravel. Gravel? Why are you sleeping in gravel? What happened was James Aliff had fallen asleep in the middle of a railroad track. And there was a 115-car freight train passing over him while he lay in the roadbed. And about every third car that went by, a hose or something whacked him in the back of the head. Now, there are not a lot of people who can say, I've been run over by a freight train and survived it. But James Aliff, all he had was a bad, bad headache and some contusions on the back of his head. What was he doing sleeping on a railroad track? Well, you can fill in the rest of this story, can't you? He is passed out drunk. Got himself drunked up, went out there, staggered, fell down in the railroad bed, and just decided to stay there for the night. And woke up with a train whacking him in the back of the head about every third car. People make bad decisions, and bad things happen to them. I mean, he's lucky, honestly, that that's all that happened to him, was a few bruises on the back of his head. I wonder if it knocked any sense into him after that. People make bad decisions, but we live with Christ. And because we live with Christ, we live in the daylight, as Paul puts it. We belong to the day. Let us be self-controlled and live these self-controlled lives of purity. And look at this. He mentions faith and hope and love. Since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. He loves grouping those three together, faith and love and hope. They all go together. This is actually the second time he's brought those three up in the book. You have to go back to chapter 1 to find the first one. But he brings that up because they all seem to go together. So here we are. We're confident of our future. Whatever is going to go on out here in the world, there's a lot of bad news. Yeah, there's a lot of bad news. A lot of bad things are going to happen. But we're confident of our future. We've got peace in our souls. We've got a way of life that we continue to live that's based on goodness and morality and faith and hope and love. No wonder we live in continual joy. No wonder we have these encouraging words that are given to us. It's not about happiness. It's not about just walking around with a smile on our face all the time. It's about living in harmony with God. And no matter what happens, we continue to have joy in our lives. Yeah, there's a lot of bad news out here, and you know and I know that we're not exempt from any problems and pain and grief. It comes to us all. But we have overwhelming joy in our lives, a joy that transcends all of these other things that go on because we have heard and obeyed the good news in Jesus Christ. You can mark this down. Just test me on this and see if I'm not right about this. And I'm not smart enough to think this stuff up on my own. Despair comes from deliberately disbelieving Jesus. People fall into despair because they disbelieve the Lord. If we believe the Lord, we will never fall into despair. To despair over this world really is to insult our Lord. He has made it possible for us to live with Him right now and live with Him on into eternity. And that's why we've obeyed the gospel, and that's why we continue to live with Him day by day. And that's why our lives, honestly, are polished and sharpened and changed to be like Jesus day by day. And consequently, we have this joy that just continues to bubble up within us and fill us because we belong to Him. And no matter what goes on here, our future is absolutely secure. And we have peace in our lives, and we have a way of life that this world just can't touch. It's not going to affect it. If you're not a Christian this evening, we're going to sing an invitation song just to take an opportunity right now for you to come to Christ and obtain all this joy and this encouragement that we appreciate and live in. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to confess His name before men, to repent of sin, stop doing the wrong thing, start doing the right thing in its place. If you're willing to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you can be raised to walk in newness of life with Him. If you're a Christian, though, and you've made the covenant with Christ in the past, but you've kind of let the world just kind of crowd in on you and leech all the joy out of your life. And you're almost in despair about the political situation and the world peace situation and the economic situation, all the other things that the news media are talking about. Will you please just relax and come back and put your faith and your hope and your trust in Jesus? Nothing else will matter at all. If you need to respond publicly to Jesus' invitation, we urge you to do it right now while we stand and sing the songs.